Psalm 37, Psalm of David, as he speaks about looking back over his life and all of the kind of turmoil and situations that he has been through. And he looks at all of those. At the same time, he knows who his Savior is. He looks at the Lord. Many times I think that's what we do as well. We can look at how the world is going on right now, and we're kind of perplexed at it. And if you follow along, I want to read the first verse of Psalm 37 to kind of get a context of it. He says in verse 1, he says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight, he says, yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." If you look back at verse 1 is where I want to really concentrate. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers." Do not fret. How many of us have used that word fret over the last year or two? I don't think probably any of us. Who uses the word fret? It's not a woke word, by the way. But who uses the word fret? What's the word that we normally would use? Right. Anxious, afraid. Well, do you know, when we think of fear, when we think of being afraid, when we think of being anxious, there is a kind of a definition for fear. It's false evidence appearing real. Let me give you that again. False evidence appearing real. That's what Satan wants us to kind of grasp a hold of. Don't fret. How many of us have gone up to someone and say, "Don't fret"? We most likely say, "Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing." That's what the scriptures tell us. He tells us there again, don't fret. What does that word mean? It means to eat away or gnaw at us. Eat away or gnaw at us. It also means to wear away. It's kind of like when you get a blister. That wearing on your skin gives you a blister. It means to make rough or disturbing. To fret means to be annoyed or constantly worrying about something. And I don't think that we can say, as we are standing here, that none of us worry any day. We probably, in some way, shape, or form, or some degree, worry every day about something. As we think of prayer requests, we take those prayer requests to the Lord because we expect him to answer those, but we still many times worry over those. Why? Because they're personal to us. Those individuals that we pray for who are sick, especially as we had Sunday school this morning and prayed over several people who were ill or situations. Or besides health, how many of us worry or fret over wealth? Well, the paycheck isn't working. Gas went up to $3.69 this week. Can't afford it. And if you have a diesel truck, you're in worse shape. So sell your truck. No. Wealth, money. We worry about that. We worry about family relationships and how are they going. Are our kids living the way they should? Are we living the way we should? We fret over those, even though we don't want to admit it. Why? Because we're believers in Christ. We don't worry about those things. We don't fret about those things. Unfortunately, we do. We worry about the world and what's going on. Who's going to be in control? Is it us? Is it China? What about the politics of that? Some of us worry about who's in control. Is it going to be a donkey? Will it be an elephant? Will it be blue? Will it be red? Let me say, as believers in Christ, ours should be the Lamb. That's who it should be. Get our focus off the world. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us that. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that good and perfect will of the Father? We need to be transformed. We need to see Christ. As we look through this portion of Scripture, going to help you out with the outline. If you have your bulletin with you and you turn to the back page of the bulletin, there's an outline, just the several key words that we're going to be going over through the message this morning, try to zero in again against that conflict, looking at the world and how we envy sometimes the world versus the others. So I'm going to help you out, but I don't want to see you leave simply because I give you the key points, okay? First one under verse 3 is trust. So if you want to write that word down, trust. Right under that, if you want to, the word do good. Do good. Under verse 4, write the word delight. Delight. Under verse 5, the word commit. The word commit. Under verse 7, you can actually write any one of these three words, rest, or wait, or be patient. Because it's very similar to, as we jump ahead to verse 34, the word wait or patience, keeping it the Lord's way. So let's not fret. Let's not be anxious. But let's seek the Lord, for He's the one who gives us strength. He tells us again, do not fret. Do not be envious. Look down at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes what? Harm. I think all of us are slow learners as believers in Christ because He tells us over and over, don't fret because it causes harm. 75% of those in hospitals are there because of diseases associated with worry and anxiety, according to the studies. 75%. Heart attacks, ulcers. And they go on with their study. But those are just a few of the key things. He says, fret. Why? Don't fret. Because it causes harm. Not only physically, but spiritually. You go to bed thinking about all of these things in the world. And the next thing you know, you wake up with a migraine headache or an upset stomach. But God's word says, don't fret. Don't be afraid. Because that's what Satan wants us to do. Why? Because we look at the world and we have problems looking at the world. We become envious of those things in the world. If you have your Bibles handy there, turn over to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 is similar to this in terms it looks at the world. And it's a key difference as you look at Psalm 73 and the things that David went through. He talks there about the condition. In verse 1, he says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. Then the mistake in verse 2. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious, what? Of the boastful and the bountiful of those in the world. So as you look at Psalm 73, it's a psalm looking at how do you and I as believers in Christ look at things that are happening, not only in our own life, but in the world. Do we have that vertical or do we have a horizontal perspective? Ask yourself that question. Do you have a vertical or horizontal perspective of life? Do we look up to heaven and know that God is in control of everything that happens in our life? Or do we look onto the world and become envious, as the scriptures point out, not only in Psalm 73, but as we see in Psalm 37? How do you look at things? God wants us to become conscious of the fact that we need to keep focus upon Him. focus upon him. But if you look at that Psalm 73, there's a big change in verse 17. And that's the way it should be in our life. He says in verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. In other words, he understood what God was doing. He understood, I can't look at the world. I need to look at the Lord. Where's your vision? Is it looking out at the masses and the world and all of the things going on and saying, oh, there's no answer for those. And yet we know there's an answer for those. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. And again, I imagine that some of you are anxious this morning over small things or big things. God's word doesn't distinguish between big things and small things. He says, bring everything to me. Cast all your cares upon me. And what do? Here, Lord, you can have that. We take them back, don't we? You don't have to say amen because I do the same thing. Here, Lord, you can have this. And then we take it back. It's like, okay, I'm going to write this down and so I can remember it. And then we crumble it up and throw it in the wastebasket. Then later in the day, we go back to it and say, I want that back. God doesn't tell us that. He says, cast those things on me. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything, which means nothing, nada, nil, zero. But we do it, don't we? We need to rest and trust what God says. Don't fret in verse 1. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green grass or as the green herb. That's not the only place in Scripture that that idea is brought to us. If you don't have to turn there, but in Job 14, 1 and 2, the Scripture says, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Psalm 90, verses 4 through 6 says this, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as you watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are like sleep in the morning. They are grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth, and in the evening it is cut down and it withers. That's the perspective we have to remember as we look unto the world. We can't be anxious for those things because God says they're fleeting. They only last for a little while. Yes, they may be doing things. They may have more money. They may have more power and authority. All of those things of the world, looking again at the wrong perspective, looking at the world rather than looking at the Lord. So what's your perspective? Are you trusting? He goes on in verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on its faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. Are you trusting in the Lord? Confidence that something will be done because the Lord's word is true. The Lord's word is true. There's no false in it. How do we know that's true? Because the Lord said it so. His word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. As you look at that, there's truth, but God says he's also light. Be careful of that, because sometimes the world puts a little darkness in there, and we look at the darkness rather than the light. And darkness overshadows the light if we don't have our eyes on the Lord. So keep our eyes on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It's not only trusting, but doing. We need to do what God tells us to do. How do we do that? two simple ways. Number one, get into his word to know his word. And number two, ask God to show us what to do. And when he shows us, then go out and do it. But Lord, I can't do that. No, you can't. I can't. None of us can. But we can when God leads us, when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. It doesn't matter standing up here or any other type of occupation. God gives us the skills and the abilities to do those. We just need to trust him. And we need to go out and do it. Why? Because you're the example, you're the witness, you're the testimony that God has put there for such a time as this. You weren't born in the 1800s or early 1900s. You weren't born in 2028. You're here right now. God has a plan for your life. He wants you out doing something. And you have to have the courage that he'll give you the strength and the ability to do it. Trust. Trust. Why do we know that's true? If you turn over to Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, all your heart. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. First, we need to trust him with all of our heart. We have a split heart. If you think of a heart attack, it's because something's not going right with it. So our heart has to be conditioned to go in one direction and beat in one direction. Are we want to be in the world and be envious of those things in the world, or do we want to have our heart geared to the Lord? There's 168 hours in a week, 24 hours a day. What do we do with that amount of time? Well, let's take a little example. If we think of sleep and work, that's about 96 hours during that week. Okay? So that leaves us 72 hours roughly. So in that 72 hours, what do we do with that 72 hours? What do we do with it? Do we put aside a specific time and place that we're doing the Lord's work? You know, from our finances, God's word tells us we should be making an offering, a donation to the Lord, approximately 10%, more if God leads and directs us. What if we use that idea with time? Would we spend 7 hours and 20 minutes or so a week doing the Lord's work when we think of devotions or being here for vacation Bible school? Why? Because the idea here is doing what God wants in our life because he has given us our life. And he tells us there in that portion of scripture, part B of verse 5, he says, and lean not unto our own understanding. But you see, God doesn't want me to do that. How do you know? Well, because I just feel it. That's right, you feel it. You don't feel the Holy Spirit and God's word directing you because you're not into it. So allow the Spirit to speak to your heart. So we need to trust. We need to trust. Next in verse 4, he tells us, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Are we happy in the Lord? This is the day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Whoa. Are we really happy? Can you say you're happy in the Lord? He saved you. He redeemed you. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you and for me. sometimes we overlook the consequences if he didn't do that or if we didn't accept him. What would be our final destination if we didn't follow him or if we didn't know him personally? Think of those that are outside this door that don't know him, that we don't witness to or fail to witness to. That's our job, is to go forth and to be a witness. That's the Great Commission, is to be a witness. Don't lean to our own understanding, but allow God, and we need to show our delight. That idea of delight means to abide or stay, be a part of, being established in, one place of focus, residing in the Lord. We need to reside in the Lord. As he goes on there in verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your ways to the Lord. What does commitment mean? It means once we set that goal, we work at trying to do it. We don't say, well, I'm going to run a marathon, and we run around the house twice and then think, oh, the race is tomorrow. I'm going out and run. I don't think we would last too long. We need to commit our ways to the Lord. We need to go back to him every day and ask him what he wants us to do and to give us the strength to do it. Commit. We need to commit. We need to trust. As you go through that portion of Scripture, you notice he says, commit your ways to the Lord. Then he goes back to that word we looked at earlier. He says, trust also in him, that he's going to bring that to pass. Don't be afraid to think that he can't do it. The situation is you and I can't do it. I can't stand up here by myself. I can only stand up here because I have confidence in the Lord to guide and direct me. I'm sweating, just like some of you may be sweating, believe it or not. Trust in the Lord. Have confidence in him. Commit your ways to him. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Don't look at the world in the wrong perspective, as we saw in Psalm 73. Look vertically, not horizontally. Verse 7, he tells us, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Rest in the Lord means to wait. Psalm 46:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. As he goes through that portion of Scripture, he also says again, do not fret. We need to rest in the Lord. We need to wait unto the Lord. None, I don't think any of us, and I know for myself, I'm not really a patient person. Coming to church this morning, there was a gentleman in front of me that I was ready to blow my horn at. And with all due respect, it wasn't him that stopped me. It was, and I think my wife will not like this, but I thought of her when I'm in the car with her. She says, don't blow your horn because they didn't start, because you do that sometimes. And I do. See, we're not patient. We need to wait. In our prayer request this morning in Sunday school, we've been praying for rain. If you remember last week, I said, go out and open up your umbrella. How many of us, when we leave today, will open up our umbrella? But God's still in control of the rain. He'll bring the rain, and we need to be thankful for it. Why? We need to praise the Lord for it. How many of us, when we see those drops on our car, will start praising the Lord for it instead of just saying, oh, it's starting to rain. It may rain tomorrow. We need to trust in the Lord. We need to praise him. But how often do we look at the world and everything just, oh, it's going to happen, it's that way. But God says, trust and rest. Rest in him. Or are we resting in the world? What's the world resting in? Its wealth, its position, our job, who we know, what political party we're a part of, where we went to school, who our parents were. What are we resting in? What are we waiting on? Are we resting in the Lord? He says, be still and know the Lord. Thomas Baird said this, it is God's will that I should cast on him my care each day. He also bids me not to cast my confidence away. But oh, I am so foolish that when I have taken unawares, I cast away my confidence and carry all my cares. That's not the way we should be doing it. We should trust in the Lord. Verse 7, as we think, rest in the Lord, it means also patience. Jump over to verse 34, because he tells us that again. He says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. We need to be patient and wait. It's not the easiest thing to do. God will give us the patience. The Holy Spirit will guide and direct us into the patience to follow the Lord. We want everything done right now. We want our fast food, so we go through the drive-through. Or at home, we throw it in the microwave. Now we have better microwaves than we did 10 years ago. So everything is fast this and fast that, fast cars. That's not what the word says. He says, wait, wait, be patient. And when we're not, what happens? The old heart starts pumping. Oh, I hope that gets in. I hope the money comes in. I hope I get that job. We start to worry again and become anxious. We start fretting. God says, be patient and wait. Or are we looking at the schemes and schemes and schemes of the world? Are they drawing our eyes away from what God wants us to do and the way he wants us to live? He tells us to be careful that we're not looking at and being in the wrong conditions. F.W. Dixon said this about our security and looking at our Savior and being patient. If you lack assurance that there is only one way to gain it or to regain it, take the word of God. Take it and believe it. God says you are his, that you are safe and absolutely secure, and that he will never let you go. Take a large dose of that and keep it. You know, when you're ill and the doctor knows what kind of illness you give or you have, he gives you the right dosage to get rid of whatever you have. Some will say, well, I want to save medicine, or I don't want to take that whole dose and wonder why we're sick longer than we should be. See? We need a large dose of faith in the Lord and his word for us. Trust, commit, have patience. The Lord is there. Let's look at those contrasts for just a minute in closing. Are we in the world? Do we have the right perspective? I'm going to go through several verses. Follow along if you can, if you have your Bibles open there, to Psalm 37. The Lord says, the wicked will be cut off. Look down at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord will be saved and will inherit the earth. Jump over to verse 22. And for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those who are cursed by him shall be cut off. Verse 28. For the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his saints, but they are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. He shall exalt you, inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. Verse 38. But the transgression shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. Two simple words to know and trust in. God says those things, the world, those visions that we see out there that we become envious of, he says, they're going to be cut off. They're going to be cut off. Don't hold on to those. They're going to be cut off. But the Lord loves justice and security for the believer, for you and I who know and trust in Christ. Go back to verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Whose hand do you want to hold on to? The world or the Lord? Simple, but hard to do. Verse 28, for the Lord loves justice, and he does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 33, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his ways. Are you trusting in the world? Is your vision in the world? Or are you looking up? Are you trusting? Are you committing? Are you waiting? Only you can answer that question. I have to answer it for myself. You have to answer it for yourself. Do you want that delight that God can give us every day? Commit your ways unto him, for he will lead and guide and direct you. That's his promise to each believer. Amen? Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your word. It's easy to say the words, Father, many times hard to believe and trust and to do. So, Father, we ask that you would help us, give us the strength to keep our eyes focused upon you and your word, trusting the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us. As we sing this hymn, Trust and Obey, Father, help us to make it part of our heart and our life. Help us just to trust in you. Help us to delight in you. Help us to know that you're there. And help us not to fret or be anxious, but just again to trust in you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, and his servant said, Amen.